strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
There we go. I'm putting my finger to the wind right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sensing, I can feel it. A big-time edition of the Big Red Rage is on hand here tonight. Wolf, are you with me on that one?
You can feel it coming in the air tonight, Paul.
Just feel it wafting across the patio here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. There is a palpable buzz among the crowd here live tonight.
You and Phil Collins.
The guy who delivered big time on Sunday is about to deliver again here on the Big Red Rage. Your affable host, Calais Campbell, everybody.
How's everybody doing today?
Right back at you. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm fantastic. I'm having a really good day so far. Real good week of practice these first couple of days. I'm just feeling good right now.
Is that you in the open, by the way? Were the guy screaming? Was that you in the open? That is you in the open screaming?
I like that. Whoever put it together, that was nice. I like that.
Paul, you didn't hear me talking to Calais about that last week, as a matter of fact. The fact that he's screaming like that, it's one of the best things about being an NFL player, is it not?
It really is.
You can walk in between those white lines and totally act like a madman.
I love it, man. I unleashed the beast, man. I'm such a nice guy all the time off the field, man. Get on the field, your turn.
See, that's what it is, right? It's like flipping a switch. Once you walk in between those white lines, it's go time.
Yes, sir.
Right? And it's okay. That's the great thing about it. It's encouraged. It's encouraged by the coaches, encouraged by your teammates to walk in there, drive the spear in the ground, and act like a savage.
That's why I love football right there, too,
man. Yeah, there we go.
If it wasn't for football, would you be such a nice guy off the field? Is that your outlet? Is that where you get it out of your system?
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question right there. I don't know. I don't really know how it would be if it wasn't for football, because football is such a big part of my life. I've been playing since I was six. I really don't know.
You know, what else do you do that's physical? Do you do anything else that's overtly physical?
I am by far the most competitive person in the world, and anything can become physical.
I mean, you're a big hoops player, of course, right?
Yeah, I love playing basketball. I like anything that's competitive. I play a lot of video games and board games and different things. Like, we have game nights in my family, so.
But, like, when you're playing hoops, I mean, does the mask of discipline come on your face when you're playing hoops? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Competition, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time. I mean, sometimes I play against guys who are, like, way smaller than me. I feel a little bad just beating them up a little bit. But if I have a good matchup, it's
kind of like
physical.
Easy now. Yeah. Easy over there. I still contend, by the way, that with proper fundamentals and form, I could box out Calais and get a rebound. It's all a matter of keeping him on my hip and then keep him away and then pulling it down with the other arm.
You know what, though? He's kind of a Wolverine, Calais. You ought to be careful. Seriously. You ought to see Paul in a mosh pit.
Easy now.
Elbows and knees.
Hey, let me tell you. I'm gonna pair up with our next guest, who is also under 6 feet in height, and I like my chances. You know what? I like my chances with the guy we're having on tonight.
He happens to be a very good basketball player, too.
Oh, see? There you go.
He plays like a big guy, though.
We'll expose Wolf, you know, and his lack of foot speed over there and alacrity.
He obviously didn't see his tackle, Wolf.
I see.
You could not have done that.
Was that tackle not symbolic of the entire game?
Totally.
And down the receiver and hung on for a game-saving tackle, just like the Cardinals ran down the Lions from behind in the fourth quarter and hung on for a victory.
A microcosm.
There we go. Big, big guest coming up on the Big Red Rage. Yes, we're coming to y'all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Snap to Stafford. Back to throw. Waits. Now throws over the middle. Caught near the first down. I think he's short. Tyrann Mathieu made the tackle. He's short.
Oh, you put the honey badger one-on-one on the outside. And he made the tackle, broke on the ball, and made a strong tackle. That is a great play by Tyrann Mathieu.
A
That was 4th and 4. No big deal. Just the game hanging in the balance. And what did number 32 do? Same thing he's been doing since day one in a Cardinals uniform. The man made a play. And in that instance, it was a game-saving play, a game-clinching play, no doubt about it. And by the way, a little bit later, we're going to hear that play in Spanish. Anybody know offhand what Honey Badger is in Spanish? Because we will enjoy that a little bit later here on the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell is your host, Ron Wolfe, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. With no further ado, bring in your special guest here tonight.
All right, this guy is a very special player, man. He's probably the littlest guy on the field, but has the biggest heart. You know, they call him the Honey Badger from LSU, Tyrann Mathieu.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to have you here today, man. Appreciate you coming out.
No problem, man. I'm excited to be here, man, in front of all these fans.
You've been getting that sort of reception since day one here in Arizona, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much since day one. It's very encouraging. I like it.
And how much does that help make you at home and help ease the process and the transition? Because you've been a Louisiana guy since day one until the Cardinals drafted you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a lot of miles from home. And, I mean, ever since the first day, you know, I've came to Arizona. You know, I think the fans have embraced me, you know, supported me. You know, I meet them everywhere. You know, Habit Burger, the mall, anywhere. Anywhere you go, man, they definitely are behind me.
What did you say, Happy Burger?
Habit Burger.
Happy Burger. What is that all about?
That's all Ray Burger.
Is that right? Happy Burger.
Off Ray Road.
What are they got? Some big
guy. Are you familiar with this place?
Happy Burger? Is that what you're saying?
Not.
Nobody's familiar with it because it's across the street from Fleming's.
Oh.
Are you more of a Happy Burger guy than Fleming's? Is that what you're saying, Tyler?
I'm definitely a steak guy, you know, but I got to have me a burger every now and then.
I see. How has this transition been in the locker room? Because a lot of times rookies are sort of on the outside looking in. You know how it works and sort of the pecking order with the veterans. How's it been for Tyrann Mathieu?
I think it's been very very good for him because he's smart. So people, like, you know, they see the starness in him. You know, the power that he has to help us on the field. So it's been easier for him because we see that he can really help us. So it kind of makes us, you know, more warm and open to him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Tyrann, why were you able to pick up the complexities of the pro game so easily?
Well, I think it was just my approach. I knew a lot was going to be thrown at me. And, you know, in a short period of time, man, when you come in as a rookie, it's a short learning curve. And for me, you know, I just had to step on the gas, you know, as quick as I can. And, I mean, I don't think the defense is that complicated, you know, but it can get complicated at times.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, you just got to stay focused, man, and learn from vets like Calais and, you know, Patrick, all those guys.
Calais, so were you and your defensive teammates talking about this guy's advancement and the way that he was able to assimilate a pro defense so easily? Were you guys talking about it? Were you surprised how quickly he picked it up? Because I know every time a rookie comes into the NFL, get ready, man. Get ready. Because it's more of a mental adjustment than it is anything else.
To tell you the truth, a lot of us are very surprised because most rookies, you know, it takes them a little while. First, they have to get through the big lights and the bright stage, you know. But for this guy, I mean, he picked it up right away. Certain guys just have that knack for the game, you know. And, I mean, I'm happy that he's a teammate of mine because he really does have a knack for a game. He's a game changer. And really, you know, I mean, I think he's going to help us win a lot of games this year.
But, Tyrann, there's been a lot of hard work involved as well, right? Wolf and I would talk to the coaches during camp, and they said you were in the front row in every single meeting, taking notes. I mean, there was a lot of hard work that went into this as well, right?
Right. You know, you just got to respect the process, you know, as a young player. You know, you don't want to go in there with the big head, you know, like you know everything. Even if you are making those plays on the field, you still don't want to. You don't want to portray that. So for me, man, it was all about respecting the process. You know, understanding that, you know, I am the youngest guy on the team. You know, and I just wanted to respect the process.
You know, we hear so much, Tyrann, about your instinct, the instinct that you have. What does that mean to you? How does that manifest itself to you personally?
I mean, for me, obviously, you know, it's humbling. But, you know, for me, it says a lot about, you know, my preparation. You know, I don't think you can be as instinctive if you don't know what's going on or you don't know, you know, what's about to happen. So, you know, you just got to dial in. You got to understand why your coach is calling this play, you know, and just understand the offense situation in the game.
I know he consulted a lot with Patrick Peterson during this whole process. When you came into the league as a rookie, what's some of the best advice you received and from whom? Do you remember? Was there anybody that told you something that really resonated?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that sticks to you. I think some of the biggest advice I got, I think it was from Adrian Wilson back in the day. And he was just, like, you know, it's the same game that you've been playing since whenever you started, which was six for me. So the game hasn't really changed. It's just the way you prepare and the way what you put into it, the mental part changes. But when you're inside, you know, the field, those sidelines, man, really, it's the same game. It hasn't really changed at all. So really it breaks down to just what you mentally prepare and, like, you know, how the work you put in that really sets you aside from everybody else.
Calais, after 2 weeks, how are you feeling your season's gone? How do you feel you've played?
It's coming along, you know. I feel like I feel like I'm almost to where I want to be, but I'm not there yet. You know, I feel like I'm just getting a little bit better each time. You know, I feel like this game right here should be a lot better for me this week than it was last week. But I feel like I'm getting there, though.
Do you think the Detroit game was a little bit better for you than the Rams game?
100%.
No doubt.
It's just the way it is. It's football. You know, it takes a little while to get going. It's like momentum. But once I get going, though, man, I feel like it's going to be a big year.
Why? What do you think is the next step for you? What would you like? When you're looking at the game film on Monday coming off the New Orleans game, what do you want to see out of your game? What's next?
Dominance, man. I want to see just wreaking havoc in backfields, you know, throwing linemen out the way, making plays, man. And, you know, it's coming. I'm you know, I got a few plays here and there, a little bit more each game. So it's going to be a big one this week.
Well, you definitely had a signature play in Sunday's win against the Lions. We're going to hear that when we come back. And a reminder, Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Visit the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or visit Ticketmaster.com. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and Tyron Matthew here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all brought to you by Santan Ford.
Jaw.
Snap to Stafford. Pressure coming. Stafford at the one. Pump steps up in trouble and sacked. Inside the five, back at the three-yard line by Calais Campbell. Stafford takes, hands it off, fumble the ball, Bush, it's loose, Cardinals hop on it. Arizona's got it inside the 10. Calais Campbell dives on it.
I can't say enough about Calais. Played a very dominant game inside and outside as far as run and pass.
That's not a bad thing to hear from the head coach. Oh, that'll work each and every time. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, Tyron Matthew, Ron Wolfe, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. That was the play-by-play there on the Arizona Cardinals radio network. You take us through it. Take us through that big play we just heard.
Oh, yeah, man. That fumble recovery was kind of crazy. Reggie Bush, he just dropped the, you know, the handoff. It wasn't like there was anything crazy. He just made him drop it. I think we might have had a little, you know, a blitz going, so he had to stop his feet a little early. But when I seen the ball on the ground, you know, it was mine. I wasn't going to let anybody else get that.
Calais, what changed for you guys from that first half to the second half? Because in the first half, you guys gave up 232 yards. Second half, you only gave up 90. In the first half, you gave up 12 first downs. In the second half, you only gave up 4. You did not allow them to convert a third down in the second half when they were 50% in the first. What changed for you guys in that second half?
You know, I really feel like the first half should have been like the second half, you know, but they're such a good team, you know, and they have some playmakers, you know. But we really went there with a good game plan. We made a few slight adjustments at halftime. And we did what we had to do. We tackled well. I think that was a huge thing is, you know, tackling and not letting them continue to get yards after they catch the ball.
How about the rushing defense? 67 yards allowed to St. Louis in game one, just 49 by the Lions in game two. And Coach Arians was definitely pleased with that. You know, especially coming off a year ago where you guys are near the bottom of the league and there was a lot of talk all throughout camp, rush defense, rush defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. We've been working it so much, you know, all through OTAs, through camp. And, you know, it shows. You know, that's what we put the most of our efforts in all through camp. And, you know, hopefully we can continue that. I mean, that's a big part of our defense. If we can make teams one-dimensional, I mean, you make them so much easier to beat them.
Tyron, how about you? You've played 2 games in the National Football League, 2 regular season games in the NFL. How do you feel? How do you feel you've played?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, I don't feel like, you know, I'm at my best. You know, I've made a few plays, you know, here and there. But, you know, I think my approach, you know, it won't change. You know, I think every week, you know, you want to go out there with the mindset that, you know, you want to get better. And, you know, that's how I'm going to approach it. You know, you can't get complacent in this league. You know, every week, you know, it's a dominating opponent, you know, whether it's their special teams or their offense. So, you know, you really can't get complacent and get comfortable. You know, you just got to keep progressing with every week.
You know, I asked you last week after your NFL regular season debut if you'd had that welcome to the NFL moment yet as a rookie, and you said no. You just, you know, you sort of matter of fact, no, not yet. How about when you stepped on the field with Calvin Johnson? Would that have qualified?
I think it definitely qualified. Actually, I was in nickel one play. You know, I had the deep half, and he was lined up in a slot. You know, I got kind of nervous. You know, that's Calvin Johnson across from me. But, you know, luckily they didn't look at him. They didn't throw him the ball. So I think I got away with one.
You know, can you take us through that fourth down play? Take us through that game-saving play. It was a deal-done play as far as I'm concerned. Can you take us through that play on the tackle on Nate Burleson?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, it was an impact play, you know, for me. But, you know, from a defense standpoint, you know, we knew what those guys wanted to do. You know, they wasn't going to go vertical on us. They hadn't went vertical the whole game, and you know, so they was going to try to work those slant routes. You know, and my whole mindset was, you know, every time, you know, just with film preparation, every time he comes off the ball, you know, he kind of just gives you his chest, and you know, I definitely wanted to affect him, disrupt him at the line of scrimmage.
You walked up over him, right?
Kind of flatten him out, and you know, just drive on the ball.
And you did drive on the ball. I was stunned. Your whole body language was like, you showed an awareness and
yeah.
being alert to the situation. And the situation was, if I make this tackle, the game is over.
Yeah.
That was a strong tackle you put on Burleson.
Well, thank you.
Calais, which play do you like better? Do you like the Burleson tackle, the fumble that saved the touchdown in St. Louis against the tight end Jared Cook, who was streaking for the end zone? Or has there been another play in the OTAs, mini camps, or training camp that none of us saw that you liked better?
I mean, this guy makes a play every day. You know, I tell you, he's wise beyond his years. You know, this guy, just the way he approaches the game and how hard he works, man, it's like, you know, it usually takes a guy a couple years to get that. But, you know, for him, he already has it, you know. And, I mean, every day we're out there, man, you know, he's always going to make some kind of play. So I guess it becomes expected. So, you know, it's not even like a huge play because we're used to it now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Calais, are you completely comfortable with Todd Bowles' defense right now? Do you think you're comfortable, and collectively as a unit, do you think everyone's picked it up, or are you still making some mental errors?
I feel like I'm pretty comfortable, but, you know, it's natural when you have, like, such a you know, new terminology and a new coach that you're going to make some mental errors
sure.
here and there, you know, and you have to get used to his play calling, get used to the way, you know, he senses the game, and, like, you know, like my man was saying earlier, you know, like, you have to anticipate why he's calling this play, like, what he's trying to get from it. And I think as a team, we're still, you know, we're getting that, you know, and I think that as the season progresses, we're going to get that even more and we'll become more dominant.
Ronald Talley filled in for you a little bit, had a few tackles. Was it good to get a rest? You know, Coach cited that after the game, that we're trying to get these guys into a rotation, so boom, when you're out there, you're at your best.
Yeah, and I think having confidence that he can go in the game and make a lot of plays allows me to really relax and take, you know, take a second longer to catch my breath.
And do you see that in film when you go break it down? He's, oh, yeah, maybe I have a little extra burst there. Do you notice that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could definitely tell. Like, when I'm tired, my game is just okay, but when I'm fresh, man, I can do some good things.
Well, hey, there was a fan who was selected from the stands. It's Calais' Cheer for a Cause. $1,500 went to his charity of choice, Gray Matters. It provides support for people with brain tumors. This was something that impacted his family, and a great thing. How can people go ahead and sign up and become eligible to participate in the program?
No, really, for home games, you just wear a jersey at the stadium. And, you know, and for away games, you just tweet at, you know.
Yep. At CRC Foundation 93. That's a Twitter handle. Back right after this with a Big Red Rage. First down for the Cardinals at the 36 of Detroit. Ellington and Mendenhall in the backfield with two receivers right. Palmer takes the snap. Deep set. Pumps. Now fires. Deep left for Ellington. It's caught at the 5. It's a touchdown. First NFL score for Andre Ellington. And the Cardinals retake the lead.
Lined him up. All he does is run a wheel route down the sideline, and Carson Palmer doesn't miss.
No way. With each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local public schools for the Passing Touchdowns for Schools program. Wells Fargo together will go far. We're together on the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Tyron Matthew here, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Can somebody give me some perspective on Andre Ellington? Tyron, how about you? You came in, same rookie class.
Yeah.
He's a six-round pick. Not even the first six-round pick. He was the second of two six-round picks. But does he not prove the mantra by Bruce Arians that if you can play, you will play?
Oh, definitely, man. I mean, he's a great talent. You know, obviously, you know, we came in together. And, you know, even back in college, man, he made those same type of plays out of the backfield. You know, we know he can catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, but what I'm more impressed with is, you know, is his elusiveness. You know, his way to find and weave his way in and out of holes. You know, I think he's definitely special. You know, I just look forward to watching him in the future.
How's the defense in general looking at the offense after two games, Calais?
Our offense is really playing really good right now. You know, compared to what we had the last couple of years, man, this offense looks amazing. You know, but just their ability to score so many different ways, so many different weapons. And, like, you know, Andre Ellington, I mean, that guy is special. I don't know how he, you know, slipped to the sixth round. Somebody missed something because, you know, he's definitely, you know, earlier round talent, you know. Just his ability to, you know, his vision, his ability to make plays. I really feel like he's going to continue to get better and better for us. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he had, you know, six, seven touchdowns this year.
I mean, he had the longest reception, 36 yards. You heard it right there, the touchdown. He had the longest run in the game for the Cardinals, 16 yards. He seems to be, guys, one of those rare backs who's in the hole and can still make you miss.
Yeah.
He's shifty like that, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Really is.
What about Rashard Mendenhall? What is your take on Rashard Mendenhall, Tyron? Because I look at this guy, and he's so thick. He's so compact, and it is a guy that can really lower that shoulder, dip and rip, and he's got great feet underneath him and a little bit of an explosiveness about him as well. Your thoughts on Rashard Mendenhall?
Well, you know, obviously, man, he at one point, you know, he was a 1,000-yard rusher, you know, every season. You know, I think he still has that capability. I think he still has that talent. You know, he's a crafty veteran, man. You know, I don't even think he's 100%, you know, but when he gets the ball in his hands, you know, he's sure to get 7-8 yards on a carry.
Have you had the opportunity to square up with him, tackle him at all yet?
No. Coach Arians, man, just certain guys are off limits in practice. You know, like 11, 28, you know, we can't touch those guys.
Yeah, all right. So you haven't been able to do that. Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to imagine that's one of the first things the rookies learn. 11 over there, don't touch him. Right?
Yeah, right.
Number 3 over there, don't touch
him. Don't touch him.
Yeah.
What makes a good tackler in the open field? What are some of the things you got to think about?
But you have to be patient, man. You got to come to balance. You know, you just got to shoot your gun, man. I mean, every time you're not going to make the tackle every time, man. But, you know, if you just become consistent with shooting your gun and, you know, just coming square it up, balance, man, I think you'll have a better shot.
You know, Wolf, that's a solid segue over there. Money segue, all right? We're running the two-man game for once after 9 years here on the Big Red Rage. You finally set me up over here, Wolf, because an open field tackle is an open field tackle. It doesn't matter what language it is in, right?
Right.
Want to hear it in Spanish? You ready for this?
Yeah.
The Spanish radio network, roll it.
Cuarta oportunidad, cuatro por avanzar. Stafford, en posición escopeta. Stafford tiene el balón a lanzar. Por el sector de la derecha, completo a la altura de la yarda, 45, la conexión con Nate Burleson, la tacleada de Tyrone Mathieu, a dos yardas de la marca del primero y 10, y el novato, el tejón velero, Honey Bayer, con una tacleada, define el partido en favor de Cardenales.
Oh, man, that is
that's
so
sweet.
Solid.
That is so sweet.
Gabriel Trillo there. In fact, that leads into It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. How are you now with the nickname Honey Badger? What's your stance on that?
Man, well, you know, I've just learned, man. You know, you just got to embrace certain things, man. Certain things just won't go away, you know. So I embrace it, man. I mean, there's a lot of kids out there that look up to the Honey Badger, you know, who are truly amazed by the Honey Badger. And, you know, so, I mean, I have a responsibility to those kids. You know, they don't know Tyrone Mathieu. They know Honey Badger. So I look forward to, you know, being a Honey Badger.
And I tell you, man, anytime you can brand yourself like that and people know you for something like that, man, it makes you so much more marketable.
Yeah.
You know, you can make a lot of money off the field with that nickname, man. So hold on to it, you know, embrace it.
Look at Calais, the big brother.
That's
right. There, right?
That's
look,
Calais does, Consulting Incorporated right there.
Does the attention ever bother you, Tyron?
I mean, in certain situations, man, you know, sometimes it can be overwhelming, you know, if you're out, you know, trying to eat dinner, you know, you with your girlfriend or you with your family. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. But for the most part, man, it's a responsibility, you know, that I have, you know, being a pretty good football player, you know, being a part of the NFL. So, you know, you try not to think of negatives, you know, just focus on the positive.
Right. So here it is in Spanish. Go ahead, Trey. Go ahead. There it is in Spanish, Calais, right there. Those two words. So if you're out and about and you hear this in Spanish, go ahead with the pronunciation. Tejo Malero. How about
Tejo
that?
Malero.
Yep, there you go.
The
there it is.
Honey Badger.
Have you heard
Malero.
That before?
Never heard that. No.
Okay. By the way, in an offbeat question, looks like the eyebrow has grown back pretty much.
not 100%.
I see.
Like 90%.
It was the network interview you were doing. Was it ESPN?
Yeah.
The Hey Rookie, and you're missing an eyebrow.
Missing an eyebrow.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yes.
But it's okay.
That'll go down in history.
So how do you feel about going home, Tyrod?
I feel pretty good about it, man. You know, obviously, you know, some bad things has happened there, you know, over the past years. But I'm looking forward to the positives, man. I'm looking forward to being an NFL player, you know, obviously playing in front of my family and friends, you know, old teachers and old coaches from Park Ball. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
So knowing that you have had some trouble there from time to time, right, are you filled with any trepidation, any concern going back there whatsoever?
Not really. I thank Coach Arians. You know, he's going to keep a close eye on me. You know, not babysit me, but, you know, make sure that I'm okay, that I'm comfortable. And, but for the most part, man, it's a business trip. You know, we just going there for one thing. You know, that's to play football. You know, it's not like I'm going there to check out the environment or, you know, go see old friends or family members. You know, we just going there for one thing, man. That's to win the football game.
You know, can I just, a fat old guy, can I just say something to you? You know,
yeah.
I love the fact that you acknowledge that you've got adversity in your life.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you would not acknowledge that you've got an obstacle that you've got to deal with. I love that, Tyrod.
Yeah.
And I would encourage you never to lose sight of that fact.
So.
Because as long as you do that, you're going to beat it. You're going to beat it. I truly believe that, man.
I appreciate it, man.
So
thanks.
God bless you. Keep at it.
Thank you.
Was that the first step in beating it? Was acknowledging it and recognizing it?
Oh, definitely, man. I think a lot of times, you know, when people are speaking for myself, you know, when I struggle with things, it's, you know, it's because I'm running from it. You know, I'm scared to face it. But you know, this situation was it was much bigger. You know, the stakes were higher, and you know, I had to tune in. I had to lock in. You know, obviously, you know, you got to gain some spiritual wisdom. You know, you got to have positive people around you. And, you know, I've been able to do that.
If you believe things happen for a reason, is it a good time to be away from home right now in your life? Is it a good time to be in Arizona instead of maybe perhaps if you would have been drafted by the Saints, for example?
Definitely, man. You know, like I said, I embrace, you know, the position I'm in. You know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, for me, it's all about keeping those positive people around you. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you go back home, you know, you get around the same people, you know, you get comfortable, you know, you lose sight of the things that's in front of you. So, you know, I think it was best for me, you know, to be 15,000, however many miles it is away from home.
Did you hear his strategy for managing all the ticket requests? Go ahead, tell him. Tell him what you did this week.
I just changed my phone number.
That's solid. That's a veteran move right there.
Yeah.
All right, Tyrod Mathew, the special guest of Calais Campbell on the Big Red Rage. We roll on from Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. Snap. Ball is down. The kick is blocked by Bethel. And the Cardinals pick it up. It's Talley running right to left at the 30, at the 35, at the 40, and then wrestled out of bounds.
That is a big-time play in a clutch situation. Huge momentum swing in this game.
There you go. Cardinals lead the NFL in block kicks since 2008. That just adds to the total. One of the big reasons why is the host of the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, and Tyrod Mathew Hall here, presented by Santan Ford. Marley's Chandler Fashion Center is where we're coming at you from. But coming off the edge, like Justin Bethel does, is no small thing. There's a high degree of difficulty to come off the edge and get a block, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's so hard, man, especially in this, you know, football this day and age. I mean, you know, kickers are so fast when you get to the ball. You know, the way we align, we make it very hard to block it from the outside. I mean, you have to be very special and very, very fast to block off the edge. And this play is kind of interesting because I've had a feeling I was going to block that ball myself. You know, because, you know, they had a couple extra points, and I was getting through the line. So I'm sitting there arguing with a linebacker, like, no, call it this other way so I can get the block, because I'm confident I'm going to block it. And he's like, no, we're going this way. And I'm sitting there, okay, all right, I got to listen to my middle linebacker so he line up and get it. And then when Justin Bethel comes off the edge and, I mean, blocks that kick, he looks at me, he's like, see, I told you. I'm not the only one that can block kicks. I understand.
Yeah, a little scoreboard on that one. Yeah, for the middle linebacker.
You know, Tyrod, you do everything else so well. Why don't you block kicks?
Oh.
How about that? I mean, you do everything else well. Have you ever been the skimmer? Ever been that guy at LSU that comes off the edge?
I've never been that fast. That's probably the thing. You know, Justin Bethel has that speed. He's exceptional. You know, with getting those 5 feet in the ground and just, you know, getting that upfield hand in the air. You know, he does it probably better than Patrick. So, you know, he's our guy when it comes to, you know, going off the edge, blocking field goals.
It's all about that start, isn't it?
Yeah.
That explosion.
I wouldn't be surprised if he got one day, though. Just because, yeah, like, you know, that safety position is like that one guy inside. And guys, they're going to have to worry about outside guys so much that I think with his quickness, he can slip through there in between, you know, that we call it the D-gap and go get him a block one of these days.
You know, you play safety and you play corner as well. What is the difference between two from your perspective?
Well, you know, when you're the safety of a defense, you know, I think communication is key. You know, you have to line everybody up. You know, you have to make sure everybody understands the checks. You know, you have to understand formations, you know, as soon as they come out of the huddle. You know, but when you're at cornerback, man, you can just play your game, get the call from the safety, lock in on your man. But, you know, safety is probably the more difficult position.
Do you have a preference?
I like playing nickel, you know, obviously.
Meaning the corner.
Yeah.
Nickel,
you know,
corner.
I like playing inside, man. It just widens your game. You know, you blitz, dropping coverage, you know, you cover man to man. You know, it just gives you a combination of things to do.
You know, it's funny. I remember in OTAs or minicamp, coach was saying, well, there is one thing that Tyron's struggling with, and that is just yelling out. You had to yell out and communicate to the rest of the defense on the field because you had used to more being on an island as a cornerback, right? So what'd you do? Did you go home and, like, yell in the mirror? What'd you do, yell in the car just to get the pipes going?
Well, not really, man. I'm not a loud guy. I don't talk very loud. You know, a lot of people, you know, they got to ask me the questions 3 or 4 times. You know, what did you say? But for me, man, it was just all about, you know, getting in my playbook, you know, understanding formations. You know, if I'm able to, you know, to anticipate a play before it comes, you know, that's the less talking I got to do, you know, when the play is actually unfolding.
Calais, based on the film that you've seen so far, where do you like Tyron? Do you like him in the slot, playing nickel corner? Do you like him at safety? Where have you seen him make plays, and where do you think he's best suited for the NFL?
The nickel position, you know, and the reason why is because he really is an amazing blitzer. You know, I feel like it's very hard to block this guy when he comes in full speed. Like, a running back won't be able to pick him up. You know, he just dips that shoulder, runs around him like he could play the end. You know, so I really feel like that gives us an advantage. By the way, he has that blitz mentality naturally. So, you know, drop him in the coverage, make plays that way too. But we're going to use him a lot blitzing.
So you played against the Saints. What sort of advice would you give a guy like Tyron or anybody else who's going against Drew Brees in this offense for the very first time?
Even when you got a guy covered, the ball's still coming your way, man.
Yeah.
That's the one thing you got to realize, that Drew Brees is that kind of thrower where he's on the charter. He's so confident that he can put the ball on the money that even if he's covered, man, he's going to go for it. So, you know, use your ball skills because you got some ball skills. So we can turn those into interceptions and pick sixes.
Yeah. How many times is 6'8" do you think, oh, I'm going to block Drew Brees' pass? I mean, I'm, you know, he's 6 foot. You're 6'8", and, you know, I got to imagine you're rushing. You're thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to block this thing. And boom, he's just zipping those balls all over the field.
Yeah, I think I should get at least one or two better passes this game, though.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, he's too short for me not to get at least one or two.
Oh, yeah. So, Tyron, when in doubt, just yell at Calais to get his arms up, okay? Just tell him to get his arms up on Sunday in New Orleans. We roll on the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, special guest Tyron Matthew, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Tight ends to the near side of the formation. Brees going to throw. He's got Jimmy Graham in stride. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jimmy Graham. Touchdown, Saints. And the exclamation point with the spike across the crossbar by Jimmy Graham.
Well, another week, another opponent, another big-time matchup. This time it is Jimmy Graham, Drew Brees, and the New Orleans Saints. Cardinals going to New Orleans. They are 1-1. And in the thick of things here, going into week 3, it is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and Tyron Matthew, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. All right, so Jimmy Graham in this New Orleans offense, it's interesting because 2 years ago when they had Sean Payton, right before Bounty Gate and the suspension and all that, I mean, they went for an NFL record 7,400 yards plus, all right? So far, though, this season, not so much. They've got about like one touchdown per game, and they're 1-for-7 in the red zone. So what's your assessment based on what you've seen of the Saints offense here in 2013?
Yeah, I think they're still pretty good. I wouldn't write them off just yet. Yeah. You know, they have a lot of different weapons, and, you know, anytime Drew Brees is playing quarterback, man, you got to keep your antennas up, make sure you're playing precise football because that guy's good.
Tyron, who's the shiftiest receiver they have?
It'll probably have to be Lance Moore.
Lance Moore.
know, he's more of the slot guy. You know, he's more of the double move guy. They definitely look for him, you know, hot routes on blitzes, you know. So they definitely like getting the ball into his hands pretty quickly.
You know, Coach Arians talking to the media the other day, as usual, forthright, dare we say blunt, and he just said, you know, the guy who scares him the most is Darren Sproles. And
so, yeah.
You know, I mean, somehow, Tyron, I could see you in the open field with Darren Sproles. That's going to be a challenge as well, won't it?
Definitely. I think, you know, he's one of the most explosive, you know, backs, you know, in the NFL. You know, he still has that speed, that shiftiness. And you know, like I was saying earlier, man, you get in the open field with those kind of guys, you got to shoot your gun, man.
You know, a couple of years ago, it's interesting when Sean Payton was their coach. Obviously, last year he missed it, but they run the ball when Sean Payton is their head coach. He's their play caller, and that was something they really got away from last year. How are they running the ball, Calais, when you watch film now?
Yeah, they have a lot of different things they try to do. Right? They really run the ball from so many different formations, and they have different runs in there. But for the most part, you know, I mean, I feel like their running game is not their strong point. They really are a throwing team. But they made coming out of their camp, that they're going to try to run the ball against us, establish a run, and really get going. With, you know, with that running game. So, you know, we're ready for it. You know, we're prepared. So I think that, you know, if we shut down the run, make them one-dimensional, we really give ourselves the best chance to win.
Yeah. Here's a stat I think you're going to like to hear. Breeze was sacked 4 times in Tampa, and the team statisticians counted 10 other times that he was under pressure. Now, so far through 2 games, this Cardinals defense has a single sack. You have that sack. Coach Arians asked about it. He said, no, not a concern. I'm not stressed about it because we're stopping the run. We're still getting pressure. We're doing the other things, but to what degree is the Cardinals defense focused on, all right, we need to get to the quarterback, get our sack total up?
Yeah, that's a big one of the things we stressed this week was getting pressure on the quarterback. Not so much sacks, but just getting hits on the quarterback. Those are turned into sacks. You know, that's just the way it is. But if we get hits on the quarterback, we start getting Drew Brees in there a little panicked, start throwing the ball a little quick. That's when we start getting more turnovers. Yeah. You know, and I mean, Tampa Bay did a really good job last week. I'm surprised they lost that game because they really did a lot of good stuff on defense. Mm.
2.64 yards per carry. That's what you guys are giving up on the ground. That's number 4 in the National Football League. And that really was, that really was a point of emphasis in training camp, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. You know, and the funny thing is, I think we can do better, man. There's still a couple of runs that, oh, man, we gave up, you know, last couple of games, you know. You know, something that if we just played a little bit better on one or two plays, we shut them down completely.
What's the loudest stadium you ever played in, Tyron? Because those SEC stadiums are off the hook.
Obviously, you know, Death Valley down in Baton Rouge gets pretty loud. But away from that, it had to be Florida Stadium. I mean, I almost felt like the ground was shaking. So, you know, SEC, they definitely have some big-time stadiums.
Patrick Peterson said he never played in the Superdome before. How about you?
I've played. It didn't go too well, though.
Okay.
I played in the national championship. You know, we lost it. But hopefully we can go out this Saturday and get a win here.
So does that noise impact defensive guys at all? You heard a lot of 49er fans are whining right now about the 12th man in Seattle after their beatdown, right, on Sunday night. How does the noise impact the Cardinals' defense when you're on the road, if at all?
You know, it's more for the offense because on defense, the biggest thing that they can do is they don't really have to use a silent count. Like when they're in our stadium, I mean, we make noise, they got to use silent counts, but they hard count us and make us a little slow off the ball. So pretty much, you know, if we don't make a noise, it won't really bother us unless we're making noise while they're on offense.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. Teams are becoming so proficient with a silent count, they're actually using it at home as well as on the road. It's amazing.
Hey, it's a Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, Tyron Matthew, presented by Santan Ford. We roll on from Marley's Chandler Fashion Center right after this.
The former St. Morton Anderson is here for most field goals. Look out! Right through! A kick block by Steve Gleason! It is scooped and scored by Curtis DeLoach! Touchdown, New Orleans!
That wasn't just the first game at the Superdome following Hurricane Katrina. That was a couple of minutes into the very first game. And you nod accordingly because, Tyron, you remember that. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Where were you? Because you were watching that game, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I was at home. New Orleans culture, everybody usually gets together every Sunday, you know, every Monday, whenever the Saints play. You know, we just throw a big party, cook a lot of food. And, you know, obviously, you know, we was down at the time, you know, because Hurricane Katrina, you know, had just passed. And, you know, that block punt definitely lifted our spirits. You know, we were screaming for about 3-4 days.
See, that's sports at its best. When it lifts an entire community, you know, when an entire state and community can rally around a team and it just buoys everyone. Is that what happened with the Saints? Was that part of the healing and recovering process after Katrina?
Definitely. I mean, obviously, you know, it was a big time organization. You know, those guys were on the rise, you know, becoming a, you know, playoff team. And, I mean, that just the spirit they brought, you know, the fight, the intensity in the Superdome every time they played in it, you know the city was behind them. And obviously, you know, the football players, you know, we looked up to those guys. You know, whatever they did, you know, it was amazing to us.
Where's the best Cajun place in the Big Easy?
I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. You know,
Gumbo.
Gumbo, got a Mother's right up the street.
Mother's, I've been to Mother's, really.
That place is delicious.
On Porges, man, can't go wrong there.
Wow. What kind of pride do you have coming from New Orleans?
I take a lot of pride in coming from New Orleans, man. It definitely made me the person I am today. You know, just a certain spirit about you. You know, you can't give up. You know, you won't give up. You know, you know, you definitely look forward to facing adversity, you know, because it brings out the best in you. So, you know, coming from New Orleans has taught me a lot, you know, about facing adversity and beating it.
And Steve Gleason is a local hero in that regard to everyone in New Orleans, isn't he? Sort of explain his significance, if you will.
Well, he's big time, man. You know, every time he comes on the field, you know, he wasn't an every down player, you know, but every time he come on the field, you know he has a chance to make an impact play, you know, and kind of swing the game, you know, back into the Saints' favor. You know, in my opinion, you know, he was a game changer to me because he changed a lot of games.
Mm-hmm. Hey, not unlike what Justin Bethel did in this last game against the Lions. There's no doubt about it. He's been battling ALS, as a lot of people are familiar, and there's actually a statue of him outside the Superdome, from what I understand.
Yeah. Guy was an incredible special teams player, too.
Incredible.
Just absolutely incredible. Got after it. Ton of respect for him, obviously. You guys, it's going to be a little bit different, right? Going to New Orleans, then they're going to fly out of there and go to Tampa.
Yeah.
Not coming home.
Yeah, it's going to be
How
tough.
Weird is that going to be, Glaz?
It's going to be definitely a different feel, but I think it'd be good for us to, you know, stay in Florida, get used to the humidity. And really gets a chance to bond. You know, we come together when we have trips like that, you know, because all you really have is your teammates. You don't know anybody else.
Yeah. And then the body clock doesn't have to adjust 2 weeks in a row, right? You get acclimated to the Eastern time zone, I guess. That's part of the objective there. And then you go against Tampa Bay 2 weeks from this week three here on the schedule. Hey, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Betteridge Jewelers in Scottsdale and Paul Benzer Jewelers in Yuma. Back after this to wrap up this extra-large edition of the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and Tyron Matthew, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Final segment here in the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Tyron Matthew, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. So it is the early kick. You're leaving the West Coast. You're going east, all right? That dreaded situation. Every team in the NFC West faces it. What sort of challenge is that going to be for you, Calais? Now you're in year seven of your career. Is it a big deal?
You know, not really. I think the biggest thing is, you know, just trying to find a way to, you know, stay calm and just understand it's a business trip. Like my man, the Honey Badger said earlier, that's why I say he's wise beyond his years, because it really is a business trip. And when you go out there with that mentality, you're only going out there to focus on this game and get a win. You know, because you get distracted when you try to go see this, you know, sightseeing and, you know, go shopping and whatever else. But when you go there and you stay focused, you know, working your plays. I mean, really staying in the hotel kind of gets you away from everything else, away from all the distractions at home. So sometimes I play a little better on the road, I feel like.
Tyron, when you watch the Saints play on film, what do you think you have to do defensively in order to be successful?
Well, you know, I think first, you know, we have to stop the run. You know, I think the first play of the game is going to be a run play. You know, we have to stop the run first. You know, and secondly, you know, we got to take away the seam routes. They're a big-time seam team, you know, with Marcus Colson and Jimmy Graham. And you know, like you said earlier, even when they're covered, they're going to throw the ball in the seam. So they don't do a lot, but, you know, they do a little, but, you know, they do it well.
And Breeze likes to get rid of the ball right away, doesn't he?
Yeah. You know, he's a rhythm thrower. You know, he gets the ball and tries to get rid of it right away. But if guys are covered, he will hold on to it. You know, that's why I'm licking my chops, man, because he will hold on to that ball, and I know I can get a few sacks in there. You know, but.
Well, and they had protection issues against Tampa, no doubt about it.
I was going to say, Calais, how do you find that offensive line watching them play?
You know, they're pretty solid. They're strong guys, you know, but I feel like what they struggle with is what we're best at. You know, that's athleticism and movement. So, you know, we have some of the most athletic D linemen in the game. I really feel like we should have a big game against them.
And Tyron, What sort of challenge is it going to be to manage your emotions, you think? You're not just going on the road. You're going home.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I'll treat it like practice, man. You know, just go out there. You know, I'd be amped up, you know, full of energy, high intensity in practice. And you know, I just try to take that same approach, you know, Sunday. You know, I won't get caught up into, you know, the people in the crowds. But, you know, I definitely want to go out there, you know, with high intensity and some high energy.
How many fans do you think are family members, friends? How many you think you'll have in attendance?
I think a bunch is going to be there. Well, obviously, I changed my number, so I don't know, you know, the exact count.
That's so great. That is. That's so good.
Hopefully a few Saints fans have been there rooting for me. So.
I think it's referred to as calling an audible. You know what I mean? When you have dozens of tickets requests, maybe hundreds, you know, you call an audible and you change the number. You know what I mean? That's outstanding. Hey, special thanks, as always, to Jim Almahundro, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Andy Greenberg. Let's hear it, everyone, for Calais Campbell and Tyrann Mathieu.
Thanks for being here tonight. We love you guys.
Thank you. We are all fired up, Wolf, for Sunday in New Orleans, week 3. Cardinals try and go to 2-1. We'll see you next Thursday here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. A special thanks to all the guys from Santan Ford, including the Hovick Badger, Tim Hovick. See you next week.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3,
and by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, what? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.